The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 million kappas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Good. All right. So look at all these Buddha treasures right here. this morning, over the last few days, I've been working very hard on writing a lot of words. And got up this morning and said, I can't say any of these. So when Reverend Master Mayon bumped into me at breakfast time, she said, just say what your heart says. Don't worry about what it is. And so I am staying with the subject matter, which has to do with ceremonial, rightly so today especially. So here we go. I don't know what I'm going to say. And yet on some level, I do. I'd like to mention first a few things about the Avatamsaka Sutra. I'm not going to expound on the teaching of it. We had a lot of it in the invocations and various things that we have just heard and are participated in. But just a few words, and actually I had a certain experience with the Avatamsaka Sutra many years ago that I'd like to share a little bit about. So you may wonder, or maybe you already know, why on earth do we pick this one scripture to honor throughout the year? And I don't think there's another one in the Mahayana tradition that we do particularly do a particular ceremony for. And this one actually is one of the official Soto Zen scriptures. And it came to Japan via China. The Chan tradition took it up, and then from there, Dogen picked it up, bringing the tradition to Japan. And so it is one of our official scriptures. And of course, it has a profound meaning to those of you or others who have studied it. And it is our way of revering and respecting the teachings and the Dharma that have come down to us over the centuries and will continue to be passed on as the generations go, as long as we continue to study it, practice it, and honor it through ceremonial practice. So I did want to show you, are any of you familiar with the list in this book of the official scriptures and sayings of the Soto Zen tradition or the Serene Reflection Meditation tradition? Well, what I thought I would do is just so that you were acquainted with it, we don't just pick scriptures out of the blue. They come with being part of the Soto Zen tradition. And what we have here, in addition to the Avatamsaka scripture, which we did to be honored today, we have the Lotus scripture. That's an official scripture of the Soto Zen Church. Also, the Prajnaparamita scripture, which we sing the short version every morning with morning service, the scripture of great wisdom, or some of you may know it as the Heart Sutra. And the Mahapari Nirvana scripture, and then there's the Brahmajala, which we know as Brahma's Net, where we recite the precepts from it at least once a month, and sometimes more often than that. And I think the entirety is recited at least once a year. So that's one that we hear and actually have a ceremony with a number of times a year. And then there's the Kishtagarbha scripture. And that would be, we have a statue of Kishtagarbha out by, that's facing the, stupa. There we go. Yeah. And then, of course, the Sweet Gate scripture is the one we do when we do Sagaki. And so these are just a few. There's others. The Shobo Genzo is an official text of the church. And the record of transmission of Dogen, Ehei Koroku, is an official text. So these are all various things that one would be encouraged to study if they were interested in knowing more about the actual teachings that are being passed down in the Serene Reflection Meditation tradition. So there's a number of others, but I think that's really all that I need to say about that. I just wanted to mention a detail about that. And also to show you here, I had someone go to the library. This is simply volume one of the Avatamsaka scripture, volume one. This is volume two. And this is an English translation. And this is volume three. In itself a story. And what I wanted to... this shows you how in-depth and profound this scripture is. At least to me it is. I've only read sections of it. I've never taken on the whole of it, except in Chinese, transliteration in Chinese. And this is what the story I wanted to tell you, and that is many years ago, I think it was 2002, I went as a representative of the OBC to Singapore. And in Singapore, there was a small Chinese temple that was offering a retreat, and I would call it a 12-day ceremony of the recitation of the Avatamsaka Sutra. And we started early in the morning after breakfast, and we chanted throughout the morning with maybe one or two breaks. Then lunchtime, we had a break at lunchtime, continued to chant in the afternoon, and then a dinner break. And then I think it was until about 8:30 or 9 at night that we would continue chanting. And this went on for 12 days. And the temple was full of lay people, and in the Chinese tradition, they wear robes very similar to our lay minister's robes. So I was sitting in a room full of these black robes, and there was a lovely nun, a Chinese nun, who was the chantress, whose voice never broke during those 12 days, and had a beautiful deep voice and was able to chant that scripture. And I found that a very profound experience and very, very touching. It's one of the things that ceremonial actually offers us, and sometimes at the most unexpected time. So, I think that's all I need to say about that. What I'd like to move on to now is the subject, and that is the impact ceremonial has had on my life and actually the importance and the value of it as a very important part of our training. And before I start talking about that, I'd like to read something of Dogen that you may find very helpful as I go through talking a little bit about how we utilize the ceremonial in Soto Zen for our practice, for the deepening and expansion and actually doing something about ourselves within the context of it. All right. So this is from Gyobutsu Iigi on the everyday dignified behavior of a Buddha doing his practice. I'm talking about all of us. All the Buddhas, without exception, make full use of their everyday behavior for their practice. This is what is meant by a Buddha doing his practice, his or her practice. A Buddha doing his practice does not refer to a Buddha's realizing enlightenment or to a Buddha's transforming himself for the sake of helping others, nor does it refer to a Buddha as the embodiment of the Dharma, or to a Buddha as others see him embodied. It is beyond the state of a Buddha at his initial realization or at his fundamental realization, and it is beyond the state of a Buddha in his inherent enlightenment or in his going beyond enlightenment. Dogen never leaves anything out. A Buddha who is equivalent to any of these can never stand shoulder to shoulder with a Buddha who is doing his practice. Keep in mind that Buddhas being within the Buddha's way do not go looking for realization. Becoming proficient in one's daily conduct whilst on the path towards Buddhahood is what is meant by a Buddha just doing his practice. Does this sound familiar to you all? Yeah. It is not something that is even dreamt of by those who are, say, Buddhas as embodiments of the Dharma. Because this Buddha who is doing his practice manifests the four modes of behavior, which are our everyday human behaviors of moving, standing still, sitting, and reclining. So the four modes of behavior in everything he does. He manifests these modes right out in the open. Before he speaks, he gives a hint of his spiritual activity, which is woven into whatever he does. This activity goes beyond time or place or being Buddha or doing some practice. If you are not a Buddha doing your practice, you will not let go of your attachment to Buddha or your attachment to Dharma, and you will be grouped with those poor devils who deny that Buddha and Dharma can be found within themselves. Okay. So when I began to practice in the Soto Zen tradition, which was my, when I became affiliated with Shasta Abbey, what brought me in was meditation, sitting on a cushion. And when I came here, that was my focus. I participated in ceremonies because that was what we did. There was not much thought about it. And though Reverend Master Jiu would emphasize or talk about the fact that our ceremonial was a very important part to our meditation practice, it was like a bridge of carrying meditation into our daily lives, because that is when we awaken, we are living that way in our daily lives. It isn't just sitting on a cushion, and it isn't just doing some ceremonies that we offer people, but it's what we do when we step out, get into our cars, go home, and how we live our lives. The deportment of actually displaying your Buddha nature. That's just what we're talking about. So from the meditation practice, I began to learn some of the ceremonial, actually understand it a little more, and found ceremonial actually to be a vessel of the Dharma, teaching me how to live, what to do, what not to do. And when you think of ceremonial, we're thinking about preceptual readings. We're talking about, in this ceremony today, there was some wonderful teaching in there when we were chanting those invocations and et cetera. And just the fact that you follow the order of the ceremony, you are conducting yourselves with grace and dignity, which is the way of a Buddha. And so that in itself shows itself. As we're all performing, that's a way of talking about performing our part in the ceremony. This is all offering the Dharma. And one of the beauties I find about this is that we are actually moving and chanting, bowing, offering incense with others. And from that comes harmony. We are harmonizing. We're not bumping somebody out of the way or trying to get in front of somebody that's offering incense, or we're not trying to outdo somebody with our bows, whatever that might be. We are actually doing it with dignity and care and kindness within the context of ourselves. So there's just so much that we can, that we get ourselves and give when we are doing ceremonial. And we never leave behind our meditation. Everything is done, the foundation of ceremonial or many other practices that we have is our meditation. And our meditation begins to become an every day, every minute practice in all that we do. And some of the ceremonies that we do are, as you probably know, we have a mealtime ceremony. Now, one of the teachings, the Dharma that comes to me out of the mealtime ceremony is looking at myself. But I want to do it this way. But no, you eat this bowl first. You do this bowl second. And you do this bowl third. And you, but I would rather put this in this bowl with this. And one, and you kind of hit this point there, just like that. No, I eat this, set the self aside, then I will eat this, set the self aside, and eat this, and then move on to the next thing. And then we put our, and all of you have done the mealtime ceremony in the dining hall. You put your silverware in a particular way. You try not to make a lot of noise. You are respecting the silence. Everyone is in meditation while they're eating. So you're all trying to be very, very quiet. You know, you could just put your bowl down, or you can just very gently put your bowl down and then very gently pick up your spoon and put it in the bowl. Otherwise, I mean, I've done this myself. I go crash, bang, oh, gosh. No, just very, very carefully set the bowl down, pick up your spoon, put it in there. And then once you've finished all your food and the dishes are all there, you stack them properly back on your plate before you were going to close the ceremony. Put your knife this way, put your fork this way, put your spoon that way. Now these are all aspects of a ceremony. You follow a particular pattern. And you do it with an open heart and get yourself out of the way. Because I really rather do it my way. It's easier to eat at home. I get all nervous here. But begin to let go of my way and you will be able to relax into the mealtime ceremony. And your food will digest better. Yeah. Another ceremony, I call this a ceremony. It was one of the first things that I learned. Again, I need to emphasize the fact meditation is the foundation of all of this. But do we all recall the teaching of setting your shoes straight? Okay. Now, I heard that almost 40 years ago. And I'm still hearing it. And I'm still setting them straight. And I had someone say to me that was visiting or is visiting, say to me, I walked into the Bodhidharma hall and every single pair of shoes were straight. And this was a place where many of us have been training for over 30 years. And yet we do not let that pass. And what I found in my own life with that particular ceremony is that if I walk through a room and I haven't put something away, back up, pick it up, and put it in its place. And not just, but put it in its place. These are things that have affected my life and how I do things. And again, it's actually seeing something with an open heart, with eyes wide open, not having any judgments about it except, oh, I shouldn't have left that behind. But we do. We're human. And just simply pick it up and put it in its place without grouching or mumbling or complaining. That we just simply do that with, like I say, with the open heart. And we're seeing something. You know, so often we go through life and we don't see things. We just kind of toss them aside. You know, your car keys, then you can't find them when you're looking for them. But to actually take the time, take them out of the pocket and put them in a place. And if it isn't the proper place, oh no, I want to put them there because this is where they belong. These things are all manifestations of our practice, of mindfulness, of wholeheartedness, of care, of respect for these items. And these are there for us to invite those qualities out of ourselves. Because they're already there. We use the practice to remind us that they are there. And within the context of this, we are cultivating our mind of meditation, which isn't grabbing onto it or pushing it away, ignoring it or wanting more of it or whatever else it happens to be. And other little ceremonies, and I don't want to, I'm saying little ceremonies because they're not, they don't take as long as what we do in here. We have a bath verse, a toilet verse, and I think many of you probably have used them, or maybe you haven't. But they are very useful. For instance, getting up in the morning, and let's say the darkness of delusion is hanging over you, and oh, not another day. You go into the bathroom and say your verse. It puts you, lines you right back up with what is, and not with the darkness that so often can overtake us. And I'm finding as I get older, it happens a little more often than it used to. And I have to just put my mind in gear, say the verse, get up, take care of myself, brush my teeth. There's even one for brush, except I have dentures, so I don't brush the teeth. But there's still the verse there to remind us to cleanse our teeth as we cleanse our karma. And these are all, you know, at first when you see them, you think, well, gee, how can that benefit my practice? It reminds us of what we are doing. And Reverend Master Jiu used to say, practice is a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week affair. And she mentioned this in the context of having rest days. You don't stop your practice when you're resting. And so there's so many different ways we can put our practice into place in our lives so that we begin to move into this area which Dogen calls ceaseless practice. It just becomes our lives. We live our lives, or live the life of meditation. And that the bridge to get to that point has to do with the activity. And that begins with our ceremonies and how we actually wholeheartedly get involved in them. Now, I don't know this morning whether you were watching or aware of everything that was going on, aware of the incense offerings or aware of the bowing and et cetera. But if you come into the hall with that awareness, when you bow, you're letting go of anything that you just may be holding on to that is getting in the way, or some darkness or some unsolved thing that isn't working. You can just let that go when you get down on your knees. And when you come up to offer incense, you can harmonize with the person next to you, sidestepping as you go through. I watch some of you do that, and it's just really quite beautiful. That's how you, and it turns into this flowing experience. We're all moving together. You know, whether it's incense offering or circumambulating, it doesn't really matter. But we are all as one, and all are different, just as the Avatamsaka scripture teaches. This moves in the ceremony itself, and one becomes quite aware of it. And one of the things I've learned as a monk, spreading my mat, it took me many, many years for this to come into my heart. Let's put it not here, but down here. And that is, when I spread my mat, I'm inviting all beings to join me in practice. Every time. And that comes to my mind every time I spread the mat. And this is something these are just little reminders, little ceremonial pieces that we have to remember what our practice is, what we are doing, and are opening our heart in order to see the truth of that which is. And like for instance, another thing that has occurred to me during ceremonial is, if you look at this rug, we got a beautiful red rug. Now, one day, this beautiful red rug became the blood of the Buddhas. Walking on it, doing my bows on it, offering incense, etc. And, you know, the transmission of the teaching, one way of talking about it is through the blood of the Buddhas. We have our bloodline certificates, seeing how it's come down. And this, every now and then, I get red in the face. This is what it's about. It's a reminder. Again, I'll use anything that'll work, that will wake me up just a wee bit more. And this comes through the activity of our daily life. We sit there cooking. And then we go out, perform our ceremonies if we're participating in them in some way. You know, get ourselves set, our minds in gear. This is I say that because that was something I heard years and years ago. When you're walking down the cloister, have your mind in gear. When you stop by the hall here, bow to the Buddha, even though you're at the back of the hall. This puts your mind back in gear. The mind of meditation is what I'm speaking of. And so we utilize these things. When you come to those doors, for instance, coming to a ceremony, put your hands in gassho, you bring everything right into the center, and prepare yourself to enter the hall to do a ceremony with your mind of meditation. And it doesn't matter whether it's bowing, just sitting, reciting scriptures, or even here, this is still part of this ceremony. We all put the chairs together and are sitting down listening to someone speak of the Dharma. This is all part of it. It doesn't matter where you are. You're sitting in meditation or walking in meditation or whatever it happens to be. We're not lying down right at the moment, but some of us have to lie down when we meditate. There isn't a physical posture that we have as humans that we don't do without our meditation practice. And so these are ways you can actually look at how you do your practice on a daily basis. And I hope you find them useful, and maybe not, but over the years, I certainly have all the various practices we have in the Soto Zen tradition have been a great aid. And bringing me from a kind of a grumpy, well, I'm still kind of grumpy, but let's say a kind of a hard-nosed, stubborn, bull in a china shop kind of person to a little lighter. I only say a little, but I'm going to be who I am. I realize that, and yet throughout that, I know that Buddha, that which is awake within me, keeps growing and waking up. And I'm very grateful for all the practices that we have. And they are practices. They are skillful means to work with ourselves. They are forms to work with ourselves. They are beyond the holy and the unholy. If we grab them, it won't work. If we push them away, it won't work. We simply use them with an open heart and our work in doing something about ourselves. And each one of us, what that doing something about ourselves is your own. We all have something different that we're working with. And I know that I'm quite grateful for what we have here and are able to utilize to do that very work. So I would like to end this with another quote from Dogen, if I may. See all these pages? A lot of work. This is from the chapter in the Shobo Genzo called Gyoji on Ceaseless Practice. The great way of the Buddhas and ancestors invariably involves unsurpassed ceaseless practice. This practice rolls on in a cyclic manner without interruption. That's an important piece, even when we don't know it. Once we commit ourselves to the path. Not a moment's gap has occurred in their giving rise to the intention to realize Buddhahood, in their doing the training and practice, in their experiencing enlightenment, and in their realizing nirvana. For the great way of ceaseless practice rolls on just like this. As a result, the practice is not done by forcing oneself to do it, and it is not done by being forced to do it by someone else. It is a ceaseless practice that is never tainted by forcing. The merits from this ceaseless practice sustain us and sustain others. We don't really have to do a whole lot except practice. The underlying principle of this practice is that the whole universe in all 10 directions receives the merit of our ceaseless practice. Though others may not recognize it, though we may not recognize it in ourselves, still it is so. As a result, owing to the ceaseless practice of all the Buddhas and ancestors, our own ceaseless practice has clearly manifested. And owing to our ceaseless practice, the ceaseless practice of all the Buddhas clearly manifests, and the great way of the Buddhas pervades everywhere. And owing to our ceaseless practice, the Buddha's way rolls perpetually onward. Accordingly, Buddha after Buddha and ancestor after ancestor have dwelt within Buddha, have acted from the heart of Buddha, and have fully manifested Buddha, and they have done so without a single moment's interruption. Thank you. Thank you very much. Buddha recognizes Buddha. Buddha bows to Buddha.